DW Deutsche Welle. Pulse.
Hello and welcome to Pulse. I'm Jessie Wingard in Bonn, Germany. We have lots to cram into the show, so let's not waste any time. African satirists are using their wit to speak truth to powerful political figures who seek to constrain their freedom of speech. We take a look at who really owns the photos you post on social media. And we meet Ugandan singer and self-described musical chameleon, Jackie. All that and more coming up on this jam-packed edition of Pulse.
Well, sometimes we're down, sometimes it is all just fine, but when you feel beaten, know that I am here to hold your hand.
How many of us have signed up to a social media account without really reading the T's and C's? That's the terms and conditions. Have you ever stopped and thought about who owns your Facebook or Instagram pictures? Well, you might be surprised. With me to break this down is Aboubakar Jallo from DW's Africa Social Media Desk and Pulse host. Abu, welcome to the studio.
Thanks for having me, Jesse.
It's great to see you in here. Now, when I upload a picture to Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, they all say I retain ownership of the content that I post. But there's a catch.
There is definitely to it. Now, when you click a photo or you shoot a video, you generally own the copyright of that material. And as a copyright owner, you also own the exclusive rights to reproduce, copy, communicate, distribute, and do whatever you want with this particular material. Now, the tricky part of it is, what happens when you choose to share your work with your followers on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, WhatsApp, you name all of the social media platforms.
Which everybody is doing these days. I mean, people take a photo and they want to put it up on social media instantly.
You don't imagine the risk behind this. In this case, you still retain the right as someone who clicked that photo, but your post on these social media platforms essentially grant a license for your work to be used in accordance with the terms and conditions of these social media platforms. Now, what that means is like you enable the social media platforms to use your content to market their business and services.
But that's not the end of it, is it?
No.
I feel like there's more coming.
Of course not. Let me give you a specific example here. If you post your work on Twitter, the automatic license that comes with your post grants the company to make your content available to the rest of the world and let others do the same with your content. Now, Twitter can further grant license to a third party to use your profile picture or any other content uploaded without necessarily asking for your permission or your consent. On Facebook, when you sign up, you give the networking service permission to use your content and information for commercial purposes without them necessarily paying for what you've done, all the effort you've put behind it. Facebook can also track your digital footprint. That is, they can track your activities online and tailor ads based on the things you buy. Facebook can sell this information to data brokers who can monitor your commercial activities online.
So let me just sum this up. My Facebook profile picture, for example, could show up on some major corporation's advertising campaign. Things that I buy online are also being tracked so that they can sell my data to major companies. Can any of these social media giants edit the content that I post for their social media platforms?
First of all, let me give you an answer to the first part of your question. Now, imagine you go to Amazon and then you buy a handbag, or you've been searching for handbag on Amazon, and then you come to Facebook and then you see all these adverts of handbags on Facebook.
I see things exactly like that.
And that's how it works. They basically tailor, they monitor your digital footprint and then to show adverts to you based on your activities online.
It's scary, isn't it?
Yeah. But in terms of editing your materials, as a Twitter and LinkedIn user, you've basically granted them the permission to edit, modify, translate, and reform any content you post on their platforms. It is therefore essential that you as a user understand that you've granted them this particular right to do whatever you want with your content.
So as a user, a social media user, is there anything that I can do to circumvent the T's and C's?
Unfortunately not. I wish I had a different answer there for you. Now, this platform offers unparalleled activities and communication advantages to us. We can stay up to date with our family. Imagine, like, I can speak to my mom back in Sierra Leone and without, you know, within a split of seconds. But this also comes with its risk, with its own disadvantages. But it's also critical for us to understand the right and this right that we are relinquishing by basically clicking a photo and then just posting that photo on Facebook, or on Instagram, or on Twitter.
So instead of wanting to get it up instantly, I think we all need to think about whether we really want to share it with the major companies and what they're going to do with it.
My advice for you there, if you take a really, really nice photo of a landscape, you're not in there, don't put it on any social media platform. They will sell it. They will use it.
We should go old school and frame it and put it up on the wall.
That's exactly the way to
go for it. Abu Bakar Jallo from the Africa Social Media Desk, it was lovely to speak to you and thank you for coming into the studio today.
Thank you.
I was beaten by a wall. It caught me in a slumber. Or is it all about my fears? Fears of my own failure. With no power to please you and no courage to fear.
Next up, we're meeting an inspiring musician who blends African energy with European discipline for a very unique sound. Ugandan singer Jackie is just about to release her new album, Fly High, her first record in 4 years. The artist fled to Sweden with her family when she was 13, eventually starting a music career there. With a string of awards and nominations behind her, Jackie is now based in Germany's creative and multicultural capital, Berlin, where our reporter, Loveday Wright, met her to get a sneak preview of her new album.
Hello, it's me. Are you there? It's been a while since you and I were in touch. Well, my name is Jackie, and I'm singing. I'm a singer. I write songs, I perform songs. Born in Uganda, raised in Sweden. I live in Berlin now.
How have you been? Did you ever miss me? Or do you have any darling to owe you?
I would say I'm this type of artist or musician that I'm always curious about reinventing myself, because I never really want the albums to sound the same.
It's me. Is that you?
I'm interested in how rhythm works with vocally, with lyric-wise, and putting this element together.
The ones we used to talk about, oh, this society, tell me why.
This is like an intro song. It's one of my favorite because it was the last song I wrote for the album. I have this line at the end where it goes like, did you ever catch the dreams, the ones we used to talk about, or did society tame you wild?
Oh, did society tame you wild?
I love this line, you know, because I'm like, so tell me, what did you do with your life?
Oh, did society tame you wild?
My music interest, of course, started when I was still living in Uganda. You know, that's when I discovered myself in the head musically, and the fact that I was interested in this medium at a very young age. Now that I talk about it, I hear it in the head, like the border borders and the motorbikes and the cars and the chaos and the red dirt. The people that live there, when they hear it, they'll be like, oh yeah, that's Kampala, you know? They'll directly go like this, because this is their world, you know, and this is their sounds that they're used to. And also, actually, it's a way for me to kind of slowly acknowledge these roots from myself, you know, because I'm also trying to figure out how to get back in contact with Uganda from an artistic perspective, you know. And so for me, it's like this way of, like, slowly, you know, like, directing my energy towards this place. I'm always, like, recording with sounds, frogs. We have, like, frogs there. We have the Kampala traffic stuff and the Zola's dance, which is, like, recording my daughter's voice.
Let's do it.
She started actually the chords because she was playing at home with them, and I was like, whoa, and then I was like, we need to record this. And then we like developed the song from this energy, from her energy. I love that girl. The way she smiles at me. Yeah, I love that girl. Actually, I'm very interested in positive music. I'm not interested in depressing music because the world is already depressing. Could be depressing as it is. So I'm like, my job is to bring people to a better space, you know, to a better light, to a better day. And that's what I'm supposed to deliver. Down first, don't fight, be happy, be friends. Well, life is one big open book ready to be unfolded. And Don't Fast, Don't Fight is also this other song that is the last song. Actually, I dreamt about this song. So I was like dreaming about it, waking up 5 o'clock in the morning, going to the toilet, writing everything really down fast, and then getting the song recorded. This was for me also like a new way of writing music because I never like had this like, whoa, I had a dream, I had a melody, I had a song, I had lyrics, I had chak, 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 really fast everything. So this was a cool experience. Fly High is going to be the main single. I think if you want to get the whole idea of the album, you listen to Fly High, the song. It's very symbolic for what's going on in my life at the moment, mentally and physically. And I feel like I'm like this ripening person who's like, yes.
Musical chameleon indeed. What an amazing voice. Jackie's album drops on May 19. If you know a young person who's taking the world by storm, get in contact with us. We'd love to hear about them. Head to DW Africa on Facebook and leave us a message. At a time when formerly respectable news outlets are being accused of spreading fake news, and many young people are professing to getting their news via social media, satire seems to have made a comeback. And a number of comedians have upped the ante. In the US, the Trump government now has a regular spot on Trevor Noah's Daily Show. In Germany, Jan Böhmermann made headlines for causing a diplomatic spat after making fun of Turkey's president, Recep Tayyip Erdogan. In Kenya and Zimbabwe, satirists are also casting a critical eye on their governments and problems in their countries. Sela Oneko caught up with some of the continent's most prominent comedians in Nairobi.
I, Robert Bob Mugabe, as your president, and I want to confirm to the people of Zimbabwe that I will be going for only one term of 5 years and I will call it quits.
Okay, so whatever your feelings towards President Robert Mugabe are, anger, admiration, sorry to burst your bubble, but that wasn't the 93-year-old president. That was Edward Kayembe. He's the voice director and a producer of the XYZ show, a Kenyan satire show with life-size puppets that portrays politics in its raw form. With his right hand, Kayembe maneuvers the terrifyingly lifelike puppet head of Mugabe.
Ask the Queen, for how long has she been the Queen in England? Like forever. So why should you chastise we Africans for staying on a little longer?
It's my normal voice. Yes, yeah, we always have Mugabe and Museveni. Those are our regular characters, you know. Every now and then we always have these veterans of African politics on our show. They're regular characters.
Mugabe's facial features may be slightly exaggerated, but so are those of Donald Trump, Uganda's Museveni, and the Kenyan politicians that are lined up next to each other in the puppet workshop. And while Mugabe and Trump probably pay little attention to the show, it has ruffled a couple of feathers back home. Godfrey Mwampemba, who goes by his artist name Gado, is known for that. He's the co-creator of the show and well known for his political cartoons.
I think my view has always been that satire should go as far as it can get, depending on the subject that you're dealing with. I think I've always argued that, and that's how I've treated my subject. Each subject should be treated differently, and I think satire should push the boundaries as far as it can.
And Kenya has come quite far in terms of freedom of expression. Just 15 years ago, it wasn't possible to make fun of the president, not to mention doing it on national TV. But there are still boundaries. After a bout of post-election violence and terrorist attacks by Al-Shabaab, the government has once again introduced new laws to regulate the media.
It's been tricky. XYZ started as the show that goes, you know, as far as possible.
Loy Awat is a show's lead writer.
Last year, it was quite tense in terms of freedom of expression and human rights defenders. There's a lot of tension. So even as a show, we kind of, within that context, it was difficult for us. There was a feeling that we were self-censoring. Even as a writer, we had a lot of arguments of, what can we really say this? Like, do we really want to say this?
And that's Kenya. In Zimbabwe, the real home of President Mugabe, what you say on TV, or even what you tweet or post on Facebook, can be used against you. But Zimbabwe is also home to Sam Farai Monro and Tongai Makawa, better known as Comrade Fatso and Outspoken. The two comedians, stroke activist, present the Zambezi News.
Good evening and welcome to Zambezi News.
And this show doesn't run on national TV, but on social media channels. Nevertheless, as they stood on stage in Nairobi, they felt quite at home.
We see many great similarities between our two great nations of Kenya and Zimbabwe. I mean, you have election violence and we have election violence. You had KANU and we have ZANU.
You have shillings and, well, we don't exactly have a currency. It's more of an idea, an aspiration.
News commentary, skits about police roadblocks, the recently introduced bond notes, and interviews with fellow activists fill the Facebook pages of Magamba TV.
So today, it gives me great pleasure to welcome to the Alliance Française stage, all the way from Harare in Zimbabwe. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the Magamba Network.
But it's not been easy. People have been dragged before court because of what they've said on social media. Some time ago, Comrade Fatso's music was banned, and earlier this year, the city council tried to demolish a building that the group runs as a co-working space for young creatives. So Comrade Fatso and Outspoken have definitely faced their fair share of harassment.
It's a way of making people laugh and think at the same time. I mean, for us, it's a tool for activism. We definitely, because of the growing popularity of our show, we do get threats and harassment. But for us, that means that, you know, that the government is watching our show too, which is great.
And scary. But for the satirists, it's all about making their voice heard, especially as the next elections are just a year away.
The reason why we actually chose satire as a vehicle for the messaging is because there was a lot of voter apathy, youth apathy with national processes. So, and also like people's attention span in general, like when it comes to like instant news. So satire became that vehicle where you can engage a youth population for longer and still carry about a very depressing message at times, but in a format that can also allow for inspiration.
The two satirists and their team are not the only people in Zimbabwe who have discovered the stage or social media sites as platforms to express their views. More and more young people across the continent, they say, are taking the risk to speak out. Sela Oneko, 4DW in Nairobi, Kenya.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Pulse. We hope you've enjoyed the show and we'd love your feedback. Head to DW Africa on Facebook and leave us a message. Thanks to Ileana Giladucci and our technician, Jürgen Kuhn, And thank you for tuning in. We'll be back next week with another packed edition of Pulse. I'm Jesse Wingard. From all of us here at DW, have a wonderful week ahead.